Want to share an idea for a couple of minutes, and then after that, the floor is open for questions. If you want to go after that, you can totally go. If you want to hang around here, you are totally welcome just to hang around. If you have questions you want to ask, share live. If you have questions you want to put in on the chat, whatever floats your boat. Whatever floats your boat is great. Such a packed parsha. Achimos and Kedoshim. I want to spend a couple minutes actually zeroing in on what's arguably the most famous pasuk, and to look at one word. We know Rabbi Akiva highlighted the importance of Ahavta Re'echa Kamocha. And the word that many Mefarshim have dealt with throughout the generations is, what do you do with that? Kamocha. What's that supposed to mean? After Kamocha, what way do I love, or perhaps friendship in this context is a better to care. Maybe that's the best translation. The Kamocha, like oneself. What's that supposed to mean? And there are different forms throughout generations of expressing different terminologies. The Kusker has his own way of putting it, but Shemeshkap has his own way of putting it. Now, but how many people do I really care about as much as I care about myself? And is that even healthy in most contexts? Should I care about every Jew as much as I care about myself? Is that an ideal? Or, should everything be graduated? I care about different people in a healthy way to different extents, depending on how close they are. I think one of the ways of translating that kamocha with nuance, I think it may have to do with the idea of empathy. The capacity to feel what someone else is going through, the capacity to be able to imagine how someone else is experiencing the same event that I am, but not in the same way. After Echa Kamocha maybe means that capacity to feel what someone else is feeling. That type of equation between him and me, between her and me, that's a very powerful part of the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. And it's a powerful part of maturing. And the question of how to train kids in empathy, I think, is a great question. For some people, it comes more naturally. And all kidding aside, for some people, it comes less naturally. Last week, we were talking about communication. So stereotypically, and there is some truth to this, there are men who are naturally great communicators. There are women who are naturally not great communicators. But it's definitely true that statistically speaking, it comes more naturally. More women are better natural communicators than men. That's not a p'tur for men. It's not like, I'm a man, I can't communicate. But it does mean, I may need to invest the amelus to develop it. And the same is true for empathy also. For some people, empathy is just natural. And for some people, it's a kinyan hanefesh. It's something that I'm going to work on developing. It's going to be true. We look at our children, and our children are likely to be different this way. Some of our kids may naturally, be more attuned to be able to see someone else's perspective, but that's not an easy thing necessarily, to think about how someone else is experiencing this. For a kid, think about the kids who are having bar mitzvahs this week. Right? So for a kid who already has bar mitzvah and it was typical, or for a kid who, that's a year or two off. Just as an example, I know some people who have kids who are much younger. Just sort of thinking like, if I'm going through it and he's going through it, then I'm going to get it. But if I'm not going through it because I had my bar mitzvah a couple months ago, or my bar mitzvah is coming up, we're planning, what everyone else has, doesn't necessarily come naturally to be able to get how does that kid feel about it. So how do we help our kids develop empathy? So, as is the case with so many things, the question of how you develop emunah, how kids develop so many things, a lot of it is definitely conversation. talking last week about communication. So definitely having those conversations, and empathy in particular, is something where you need a little imagination. So sometimes it's talking it through. You know, talking it through with the kids, like, let's try to think about having this conversation at the Shabbos table, or just, you know, sitting on the couch. We have a lot of time sitting on the couch with our kids these days. And it's not always, you know, a lot of times you're up and down a lot, but when you have a couple of moments, they're just like thinking through, like, let's try to think together, like talking it through, like, what must it feel like? That's definitely a piece of it. But it's not just going to be through conversation. It's not just going to be through talking it through with our kids. There'll be moments when you can grab to talk stuff through. But you know, this coming week's parsha, the very beginning of Parsha Semor is one of the places where Rashi points out the Torah speaks about chinuch of children and training kids into mitzvahs. The Torah speaks, the context is Tumas Kohanim. The context is that Kohanim are meant to avoid coming into close contact with Tumas Meis. And so that's something that adult Kohanim have to avoid. But the Torah doesn't just say Emor al Kohanim, it says Emor al Kohanim v'amarat alehem. You're going to say the Kohanim and you're going to say it again. So what's with the double saying? So Chazal comment, Lahazir Gedol Malaktanim. That's the first one, is you got to tell the adult Kohanim they have to keep this halacha. And the second one is tell the Gedolim to tell the Ktanim. Now, what's interesting is that sort of they're put into parallel. You can explain to the Gedolim that the adults have to follow these halachas, and it's going to be conveyed to the Ktanim too. Almost as though the Torah is capturing that a key piece, we all know that one of the key tools in teaching kids is modeling. Lahazda Gedolim Ktanim may mean, in other words, that through Emor al Kohanim, you'll tell a Kohanim to follow these dinim, and through the Kohan, adult Kohanim following these dinim, the kids will also see, here's what I need to strive for, here's what I need to pick up on and to follow. And we know that our modeling is key. And how are we going to model empathy for our kids? So part of it is, again, we're talking at the table, and like we're just talking about how we're like processing what other people are doing. And sometimes our kids will see us talking to other people. Sometimes our kids will see us, you know, having a feeling for someone else. Maybe they'll see us on the phone, they'll see us out in the street, a socially distanced conversation with someone who's going through stuff. And our kids will see that it shows in our faces that, you know, we're caring about something someone else is going through. Or they'll see us on the phone. It's okay. And it's good for them to see us on the phone and see us emotional about someone else's stuff. It's powerful. In small doses. Too much can be overwhelming. But for kids to see that we empathize with others, that's powerful stuff. For kids to see that we empathize with them, that's very, very important. Not just because it teaches them empathy, because we need to be empathic. Right? And part of what we need to do as people, as Jews, is to empathize with the people around us. Which again, it'll be easier for some of us, it'll be harder for some of us. It's not just kids who don't have an easy time empathizing. It can be adults too. Either it just doesn't come naturally, or it would come naturally, but it's a little scary now, because we don't wanna, it can be scary to think I might be going through what someone else is going through, and sometimes we sort of push it away. That's very powerful. It's very powerful and it's very important. Important to empathize with other people. It's important to empathize with our kids. They say from Yisrael Salanter. Yeah, he said the kid's in the bath playing with his little piece of wood, and in his mind, he's the captain of a ship. You take that away, it's the equivalent of taking away a ship from an adult. Now, again, sometimes you do have to take the piece of wood away because it's time to come out of the bath. Sometimes it's appropriate. But understand, kids are going through things, and just because we're looking at it with, you know, 33-year-old eyes, but he's six. That's going to be true in any context. It's going to be particularly true now. Kids are going to be processed. Kids are hearing bits and pieces of what's going on from us. and they're hearing the uncertainty in our voices, and they typically get more than we think. At the same time, they're not getting all the pieces. And it's very normal, as Dr. Pelkowitz has pointed out. Kids will be scared, and that's okay. And we can comfort them and give them information in an age-appropriate way that can steady things, at the same time to empathize with their fears and the way they're handling the uncertainty. And finally, I'd say, we spoke before about, talking kids through, having the conversation with the kids, you're thinking through together, talking through how must that person be feeling, what do you think it's like? We spoke about modeling empathy in terms of our kids seeing us empathizing with others, our kids experience us empathizing with them. Maybe the most critical of all, we'll end where we started last week, which is to realize that the foundation, if one had been blessed with the bracha of raising our children together with their other parent, if we've been blessed with the bracha of marriage, if we've been blessed with the bracha further of happy marriage, even if it's a marriage that we feel needs more males, every marriage can always continue to improve. Here's one big piece of amelus. We're talking last week about communication. Empathy and communication go hand in hand, because the ultimate type of communication is empathic communication. Such a big piece of growing our relationship with our spouses is really seeking to understand how the other person is experiencing things, and especially when we're feeling worn down. So it could be harder, so our bandwidth narrows, right? When stuff is on my head and I'm stressed, and I'm stressed in general, sort of background general stress, and I'm particularly something's on my mind, and I can focus on that, and I focus on my take on things, it could be a lot, our bandwidth is narrower. It's a lot harder to see sort of how is someone else processing. It's normal that it's harder, but to end where we began, the fact that something doesn't come as naturally doesn't mean onus rachmano patre, I can't do this. If it doesn't come as naturally, so that means the next time it comes up, I'm going to try harder to get it right. The next time those conversations come up about whatever they are, but to get myself to stop, and what we spoke about last week, sometimes in the heat of the moment is not the best time to have a more expansive conversation. Maybe the more expansive conversations can come later on when Shalom B'Shas Masa, but that to maintain that focus, both B'Shas Masa and Shalom B'Shas Masa, of there's another perspective on the situation, right? How is someone else experiencing this? How is someone else experiencing the situation? How is someone else experiencing the words I'm choosing to say? How is he or she hearing this? And let me close with a fantastic maisa, a fantastic chassidish maisa I came across over Shabbos, and Rav Zevin's classic collection Sipuri Chassidim, hundreds of stories of chassidish rebbes arranged by the parshim. This is actually Parshas Kedoshim. Yisachar Zauderer bar mitzvah celebrated this past Shabbos, so I got a copy of his pshatel, and his pshatel was about the halacha of pain workers on time. Pasuk in this week's parsha, and it relates to his name, Yisachar. So here's a Maaser Reb Zisha of Anipoli about that din. So Reb Zisha's wife, I apologize, we're going to drop over our time, but I hope for Chesir Shemaisa, we can, we'll be Lamala Menazman. If you need to go, it's totally fine, but if you can hang another couple minutes, the Maaser's could die. So Reb Zisha was very financially strapped for much of his life. He had not bought his wife new clothing, probably at this point in years. And he saw his wife was really feeling down. What's going on? And it comes out that, she'd love to have a new dress. It's been probably, who knows how many years since she had new clothing, and, she really wanted something. So he saw it meant a lot to her. He didn't have the money for it. So he begins to try to earn a couple extra kopecks here, a couple extra kopecks there, and skimp on this and scrimp here. And slowly, slowly, he scrapes together enough money to buy, this is obviously before off-the-rack clothing, he buys a piece of cloth, a couple extra pennies to pay the tailor, And he gives it to his rabbitson on a Sunday morning. So he figures, Baruch Hashem, I took care of what was on her mind. Now she'll be happy. Erev Shabbos, he notices that she's really looking down all over again. So he can't understand. He thought, like, she's going to wear the new dress on Shabbos. Like, she's so excited. She's literally Shachianu. So he says, darling, Rebbetzin Zusha, whatever her name was. Rebbetzin Zusha, like, what's going on? Didn't I? You have a new dress. He says, dress? What dress? I don't have a new dress. He's like, am I forgetting or are you forgetting? Didn't I give you the... She says, I'll tell you what happened. I went on Sunday to a tailor, dropped her the cloth, and came by the end of the week to pick it up. And he gives me the dress. And he gave me the dress with like a grimace. Like, and this was so uncharacteristic. Taylor is a pretty jolly man. So what's right? He like grimaced as he like picked up my dress. Or like something was up. He says, yeah, my daughter just got engaged. And the chassan was, we don't have a lot. The chassan was over. And he saw me working on this dress. He got all excited that that's going to be a new dress for his column. And then when he heard that it was for a customer, it was a dicey moment. It was tough. The chassan was not so pleasant about it. So, you know. So Rabbi Tzuzusha tells her husband, so I said to him, so forget about it, just keep it. Take it for your daughter. Like, I'd rather that she be happy. So we would have said, amazing, right? Beautiful. Like this is a dress. She'd been waiting for this for years, right? And she hadn't had new clothing in years, and she said, I'd rather, you know, the girl be happy. I'd rather sort of help repair that situation. And Rabbi Zisha said to her, and this is sort of like empathy to the next level, like, did you pay the tailor? She said, pay the tailor? I didn't even take the dress. He says, it's beautiful that you didn't take the dress, but bear in mind, this is how Rabbi Zisha was thinking about, you came to him on Sunday, he was excited all week that he's actually making some money this week. He's going to be able to buy groceries this week. So it's great, it's beautiful that you gave him the dress. But he's not buying groceries with a dress. She's like, you're right. Takes the money, goes, and pays him. So that's a double madriga of empathy. Incredible self-sacrifice on the part of the rabbitson. And then sort of like that wisdom of Rabbi Zisha to sort of see how is that other person, like we might pat ourselves on the back, it's great, and it was great, and it was incredible empathy on her part. But to think about how is the other person in the situation experiences. What's his or her perspective? It's as I said before when we started, it's an aspect of maturing. It's an aspect of maturing for kids, and it's an aspect of like many aspects of maturity, it comes in different madrigas. An adult can also continue to mature from 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 to 60. We can all continue to grow in this way, and lahazir gadol maktanim to help our children develop this as well on their madriga. The mitzvah after Echa Kamocha is certainly a klal gadol b'Torah and a major aspect of the growth of all of us. I want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for joining.